Okay, my presentation. So you can all read. Reducing establishment difficulties via selection for seedling vigor and intermediate grass. Thinner prime intermedium. Via seed size and density. So it's kind of a long-winded title. I prefer to call this Perennial Grains, the Future of Intermediate Grass. And I'm Gabe, Master Student Candidate at the University of Manitoba, Department of Plant Science. Little arrows. So, for those of you that came late or have no idea what intermediate grass is, it's a perennial crop, a hexaploid genome, allohexaploid. It's an albicut oak crosser, and it came over here from Eurasia. It was only used as a forage crop. So, what do I get paid for? So, again, reducing establishment difficulties via selection for seedling vigor and intermediate grass via seed size and density. I'd like to reduce it, though, to something a little more simple. Do larger seeds lead to better seedlings? But, of course, that kind of begs the question, what exactly defines a better seedling? And later on, I shall also answer, does seed size have an effect in germination or emergence? Is seed size something we want to be selecting for? Will it give us a better crop, an improved crop? So, a little background. Here's an example of a selected crop, a crop that has been selected for its forage potential by the Land Institute in intermediate grass plants. And here on the right-hand side, that's just an example of a wild species of intermediate wheatgrass. So, the crown's here and here. And so what are we doing? Here at the Ian Morrison Research Facility in Carbon, Manitoba, we're breeding the crop. We're trying to produce an intermediate grass crop that can be used both for forage and also for its seed production qualities. So a dual-purpose crop. And for your reference, here's an example of the crop at harvest time, just so you know what it looks like. So, what exactly have I been doing? So, here's my initial nursery of about 4,000 plants at the Ian Morrison Research Facility. And specifically of those, I'm looking at 100 of those plants. These plants have been selected for their unique characteristics or traits that we want to select for, breeding characteristics, for improved seed yield. And today, we're going to be talking about six of those plants, creatively called the six plants. And they are labeled genotypes A through F. They're all going to be half-sibs from the original parents. And of these six plants and their genotypes, I divided each of those genotypes into three size classes, small, medium, and large. So, what did I do with these size classes? Basically, I performed emergence trials on them. So, going to my sorting methods a little more. So, our genotypes, A through F. Their original designations on the side there. And how did I sort them? Well, pretty simple. I used a columnar air seed blower here on the right and seed sieve to divide them into about thirds. And so, just for an example, the A divided into three classes, large, medium, and small, large of about 7.79 and small of about 4 grams. And so each genotype is going to have a different weight for its size class. And E, the largest of the 2012 harvest, had about 12 grams for its largest size class. So this was the smallest seed class, and that was the largest seed class in terms of weight overall. So about a threefold difference between the smallest and the highest seed class. So, year-to-year seed class comparison. Here are the 1,000 seed weight comparisons from years 2013 and 2012. So we have genotype and class here along the bottom, from highest to lowest for 2012. And 1,000 seed weights here on the right-hand side in grams. So we're getting fairly consistent sizes throughout the years for in terms of seed weight. Correlation between years is about 0.9010. There's a bit of variation between years, as you can see. But overall, the sizes were pretty much comparable between both years. So, tests and studies. So, pretty simple. I did a germination test on both years. So I have 2 years of data, 2012 and 2013. And then an outdoor study and an indoor study. So for the outdoor study, It was arranged to a split block design. So, four blocks, one, two, three, four. Then further divided into small, medium, and large size classes. And then even further subdivided into genotypes here at the bottom. So that's my nursery from, I believe, 2013. And the same basic idea was applied to the indoor study. Each tray is going to represent a block, a size, and a class. So we have 72 trays out here. And so, for example, here we have for block 4, genotype D, and the size class is large. And as you can see, these little colorful rings here indicate, or we use them to mark emergence date. Each ring color represents a different date that a plant emerged on. So, let's get to answering these questions. Do larger seeds have a higher rate of emergence? So, I got my emergence trial data here from 2012 and 2013. For both the indoor in blue and the outdoor studies. And then they're plotted by 1,000 seed weight from lowest to highest. So, classes along the bottom, and the percentage of the maximum value. So, for each observation, I divided it by the highest rank, highest value in the class. So, for example, a small here was 4 grams, and up here, E large was 12 grams, so there's about a threefold difference. So, this is only 33% of the maximum value of 1, or 100%. So, what do we see here? Are larger seeds having higher rates of emergence? Not exactly. Especially in 2012, there seems to be a plateauing effect where seed size stops to matter, stops mattering in terms of emergence, or even just plateaus out. And in 2013, there's no correlation between seed size and emergence. And just for reference, between years, there is a moderate correlation between the emergence ratings. About, yeah, in the mid-50s. And the outdoor correlation's a bit lower. So they aren't performing the same between years, exactly, in terms of emergence. So do larger seeds have higher rates of emergence? Not exactly. So, but maybe we were classifying better seedlings, though, in terms of weights and how much they grow. So we have indoor dry matter weights for 2012 and 2013 again. Their emergence dates in color here, plotted by seed weights at the bottom, and the dry weight of the seedlings 14 days post-emergence in grams. So, are larger seeds leading to larger seedlings? Yeah, as you can see by the correlations, yes. The correlations start to drop, though, as we go further along, but the earlier they emerge, the more correlated they are with higher weights 14 days post-emergence. So, larger seeds are leading to better seedlings. So, also, maybe better seedlings, the ones that emerge faster, they may have a competitive advantage over later emerging seedlings. So, does 1,000 seed weight have an effect on emergence dates? It doesn't appear so. So we have 2012 and 2013. Also interesting to note is that the 2013s emerged one day later than the 2012 data, probably due to heat. Anyways, we have 1,000 seed weight again, plotted along the bottom, and total emergence here on the right-hand column. So it does not seem that there's any effect of 1,000 seed weight on total, or on the that 1,000 seed weight's effect on emergence or emergence dates effect on total emergence. And so, how about 1,000 seed weight's effect on germination? Again, 1,000 seed weight here at the bottom, total germination percentage at the side. And yeah, we actually are getting a correlation between 1,000 seed weight and germination, so that might be something to select for if we're looking at rates of germination. Okay, and lastly, well, here's my plot from the 2013 seeds planted in 2014, and this is 21 days after seeding. So, if 1,000 seed weight, or seed size, isn't the most important thing, what exactly is? There must be some other genetic effect. So for example, here, again, we have days after seeding and their total emergence percentage. The two different genotypes, A and E, tend to have very comparable performances despite this huge disparity in seed size. A's tended to be the smallest in terms of seed size, with E's being some of the largest ones. So overall, size technically doesn't matter when it comes to rates of emergence or better seedlings. There's some other genetic effect. genotype is more important. So, let's wrap some things up, I guess. So, there is a correlation between germination and seed weight, but germination itself does not correlate to emergence. So, if we have a larger seed, we would expect more germination, or higher rates of germination, it has more energy. But just because the seed germinates doesn't mean it's going to emerge. And there seems to be a plateau or a plateauing effect where 1,000 seed weights effect on emergence starts to level out or is even detrimental at some point. And there's a correlation between 1,000 seed weight and 14 day dry weights. And that's to be expected. The more energy you have in a little seedling, the more you can grow later on. And there is no effect of 1,000 seed weight on the emergence date of our plants. So, is 1,000 seed weight something we should be selecting for if you want improved forage or improved grain potential? It's kind of hard to say so far. So, I'm going to answer these questions from the beginning. What exactly defines a better seedling? In our cases, I'd say emergence percentage, plant growth, and emergence date. But from 1,000 seed weight, we're only getting emergence date and plant and a bit of plant growth. There's no effect on emergence date itself. Do larger seeds lead to better seedlings? Well, if we're considering just larger seedlings, then yes. Larger seeds do lead to better seedlings. And does seed size have an effect on germination or emergence? It has some effect on germination, but no effect on emergence. If there's any effect, it's not linear. And I think that's pretty much it. Here's my plot from 2013 and 2012 here on the back. And my acknowledgments. And that's pretty much it. Thank you.
We have time for a question or two.
Germination, just through a basic germination study, you put the seeds in like a petri dish, water them, see if the radical emerges. And emergence, they actually break, we planted them, they break through the soil.
Okay, and then the petri dish.
Sorry, I just skipped over that.
So, following up on that question, do they have a problem with handing them off?
Pardon?
If they're apparently germinating but not emerging, do they have a problem with damping them off?
That's not something I really looked into. We just germinate them. We don't take the germinating seeds and then plant them. We just seed them from like dry stock. So that's something we could look into.
We didn't see any field loss due to damping off or even the greenhouse.
Did you attempt to look at the relative growth rate of the seedlings after they germinated, but before you?
Not specifically me. I've done some Hahn staging, but most of it's been done by either technician or the Perkins Coie.
That's a separate study. That's a separate study using the same.
In the field, we didn't do emergence date.
Okay.
We just counted overall emergence. That would have been, semi-difficult. Okay.
There's no more questions.
One more. Great work, Dave, but have you considered an alternative career as a talk show again?
I've heard that before, that I have like a face for radio, so it might be something to look into.